B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Up first on the podcast, it's Sully Erna from Godsmack as he launched his internet show, Hometown Sessions, Real Life Beyond Music. It's a chance for you to see the real Sully.
Well, I enjoy doing it. It gives us a purpose and a reason to do it. Even more than we would in the past, because we're usually busy building live tours.
He tells me about drummer Shannon Larkin and how sobriety has gone for him and what an inspiration he's become, as well as new Godsmack. Will we hear anytime soon?
There's no rush. I have the rest of this year, you know, and we'll probably deliver something by the first quarter of next year, which will put us a year ahead of schedule, which is our normal every 4 year album. This will be the third year. So
earlier in the week, I did an Instagram live video with Theory of a Dead Man singer Tyler Conley. Of course, he's known for his perfect hairstyle, but it wasn't always that way, driving around in the backseat of a car shooting videos.
You know what? There is a couple clips where you can see it kind of. I did get Winnie back there. But there's people on the set that are just consistently spraying it.
We discussed numerous topics, including his writing style and how it's changed over the years and how personal it is now.
You know, I don't know if that just is from years of figuring it out or being more confident. You know, because in the beginning, I would never even try to discuss things that were outside the box or things that maybe didn't personally affect me.
It's Sully Erna from Godsmack and Tyler Connelly from Theory of a Dead Man today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. It's a Meltdown back at it. Hopefully, this is entertaining you guys a little bit during these strange times. If you like this podcast, 5-star ratings on Apple and iTunes are always appreciated. And, we've been doing this thing here at the radio station, these Instagram interviews, which are really cool. Got one scheduled with John Cooper for this coming Friday. So if you're out there on Instagram and you want to follow the radio station at WRIF on Instagram, we'll be talking with John 2 o'clock Eastern time. Live, you can watch it, which is really fun. And that's what I did with the Tyler interview from Theory of a Dead Man coming up here in just a bit. So just like the one with Jay for Rival Sons a couple podcasts ago, the sound is a little bit funky since it was recorded off the web like that. But you get the picture about, of course, what he's saying, and it's easy enough to hear. But first of all, it's Sully from Godsmack. He's got this new internet show like I was talking about in the intro, Hometown Sessions, Real Life Beyond Music. And it's pretty cool if you get a chance to watch it. And I've talked about this before with a lot of people. It's like, it's really cool to see some of these rock stars are really opening up their homes and their lives to the fans during this crazy time. So we talk about that. He gets real open with, Shannon and his sobriety, which is really cool. Talks about the future of Godsmack and what they have going on and a ton more. So he was supposed to call, and he did. And here he is. It's Sully from Godsmack on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast.
Meltdown, it's Sully.
Hey, Sully, how are you, man?
Good, how are you?
Well, good to hear your voice, man. I see that you got this this new internet show, the Hometown Sessions, Real Life Beyond Music. I loved a couple weeks ago when you were talking, or I guess it was last week or so, when you were talking to Shannon. You were in your vinyl room, man. That's so cool.
Yeah, I actually, I switched it since then.
Right.
And tomorrow, I'm going to be interviewing Eddie Trunk from That Metal Show. and I switched it to downstairs into the man cave. So we're going to film from there. And it's going to be a whole different change up. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to actually come into HQ, the headquarters that we have for Godsmack, the recording studio. And we're going to do some sessions from in here, too, and play some music and stuff. So just going to keep mixing it up.
Oh, that's killer, man. So I was going to ask you, is this like this project easier or harder than you thought it was going to be?
It's not too bad. The hardest part was just getting the technical shit to work right. Like, you know, the making sure that the program that we chose to do these multi-cam angles and streaming, it was just we kind of had to learn it because it was new to us. That was the only part. Everything else, like the filming and talking to people and getting my friends on board, that's the easy part, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I love the disclaimer, too, at the very, at the very beginning. Hey, so, you know, it's funny. I've been talking to all these rock stars, you know, from Jay from Marvel Sons and Tyler from Theory and stuff like that. And it's kind of weird, these times that we're living in. And it's like, do you feel like a bigger need right now to, like, reach out to the fans and maybe connect with them a little bit more?
Well, I enjoy doing it. It gives us a purpose and a reason to do it. Even more than we would in the past, because we're usually busy building live tours and getting, you know, records done and shooting videos. So, you know, since we're kind of forced to be inside, it gives us an opportunity to just go, you know what, why not? You know, we have the technology these days, so why not jump online, spend some time, and keep the music alive and feed people a, you know, some entertainment to help them pass time.
Yeah, I was thinking about this as I was watching it. We're about the same age and stuff. Could you imagine if you were a, you know, 15, 18-year-old kid or whatever, watching Steven Tyler in your basement do something like this? You know, that'd be so cool.
It'd be awesome. Yeah. Oh, my God, it'd be amazing. Yeah, I'd like to see him still do it right now.
yeah, no question. Yeah, it's so cool. I remember a couple years ago, Aerosmith was playing and Slash was opening up. And I actually got to go home and watch Aerosmith play, you know, here in our backyard on video because they were streaming the whole show and everything. It was just so cool. I know you had Shannon on a couple weeks ago, and man, Shannon was really, really inspirational. I thought that was great.
Yeah, he's an inspiration, man. He's come a long way since the days where he just had this kind of FU punk rock attitude, and you know, didn't care about what he looked like, what he sounded like, who he insulted when he was drinking, because he was a bad drunk. He wasn't like. He was a blackout drunk, and that's where it's dangerous. You know, it's one thing, and you know, everybody would laugh with him and just think, you know, it's funny that he's smashing bottles and breaking lamps in hotel rooms and all that. But at the same time, he doesn't remember anything, and he's calling people horrible names. And when you're that kind of an alcoholic, like, it's not good, because you're either going to hurt somebody or hurt yourself and not even know you did it the next morning. So I'm glad he got help because he needed to. He, you know, he dedicated enough of his life to partying, as did we all. And there's just a point where you got to just kind of grow up and you have to be more responsible. And if you're the kind of person that can have a few drinks once in a while and enjoy dinner and some wine and things like that and not be an idiot, then all the power to you. You know, that's drinking responsibly isn't such a bad thing. Alcohol can actually be really fun. But when you're a dangerous alcoholic that's blacked out and you don't know what you're doing or what you did the next morning, you know, you have to understand you have a disease and a bigger problem and do something about it. And he took it amongst himself to deal with it. We never told him what to do, but he knew that it was getting close to, like, we can't do this much longer, you know, because it was getting to the point where it was interfering with business.
Yeah, I was going to say it might have been fracturing the band perhaps a little bit.
It was just, you know, he was calling out the wrong people, not knowing who was who would be, you know, international, and, like, you know, he would, are we being taped?
Yes.
And he would call, you know, some female promoter a cunt and that kind of thing. And so you're like, and then he'd come into the dressing room the next day, all puffy eyed and, you know, and tired looking and just trying to play it off like he has a bunch of energy and he's good. And we're just staring at him. And then he'd go, okay, what did I do?
Oh,
and I go,
man.
Well, the first thing you probably should do is go and apologize to that lady out in the hallway calling her a cunt last night. And then he goes, oh, no. And then he'd go up there groveling. And I think that was the breaking point for him. He came back and he's like, he just checked himself in and felt like he had to do something about it.
Yeah, for anybody out there who is looking for, like, some advice on how to deal with their own, you know, their own vices and addictions, that was a great episode to watch. And, I love the fact, you know, at Christmas time, you got him in a car and stuff. That was so killer. You know, I don't know if I ever told you this before, but I watched your guys' set at Rock on the Range, and I love the drum solo thing, obviously. I've seen it so many times. But I remember Scott Travis from Judas Priest walking up and standing next to me. I go, have you ever seen the drum thing? He goes, no, I'm looking forward to watching it. So it was pretty cool to watch somebody else of that magnitude look forward to seeing what you guys were doing on stage.
Yeah. We do what we do, man. We're just looking forward to getting back out there eventually. Sucks.
Yeah, I mean, so you're looking at 2021, I presume, right?
For sure. Yeah, we actually decided back in March when we were haggling with the whole thing everyone else is haggling with, which is like, you know, what festivals are we going to try to preserve? What shows are we going to try to honor in the fall? And as I'm watching every band trying to bump into the fall, I'm thinking, if this even goes down in the fall, which I don't think it's going to, I think these bands are going to go up on sale or try to, and they're going to find that the attendance is pretty weak still, because, you know, people are going to be a little bit traumatized from this. And, you know, I'm not one freaking out over it, but I do know that people in general, there's going to be a healing or like a rehabilitation period, right? So it's either going to be, I don't really want to be around crowds yet, so the attendance will be light, or it's going to be like, I probably should replenish my savings account before I go spend $50 on a concert ticket, you know, and feed my kids. So for that reason, we started thinking ahead and we go, you know what, let's just, instead of trying to claim our little piece of real estate in the fall and cram ourselves in, why don't we push way out, get our record done, and be first to pick our venues, the dates we want to be in the venues, our tour buses, whatever, this, you know, summer of 21, and, you know, do this thing the right way and just kind of wash out 2020 as a, you know, healing year.
Now, I think I saw somewhere that you are you working on new material? Is the writing creative juices flowing or is it not?
No.
Or, no? Okay.
No, they're not flowing. I found myself annoyed and aggravated right now, and I'm sure something good will come out of that eventually, but I'm just a little blocked right now. There's just a little bit too much going on, and I'm just trying to settle down so I can get back into that creative mode. I know the guys are in Florida doing their thing, writing. And, you know, I'm going to start. I mean, I'm already starting to collect material and, like, you know, jot down ideas and things like that, but I'm not wide open right now, and I need to be at some point, but there's no rush. I have the rest of this year, you know, and we'll probably deliver something by the first quarter of next year, which will put us a year ahead of schedule, which is our normal every 4 year album. this will be the third year. So, you know, it still works to our advantage.
I can't believe the first time you came into a riff here in Detroit, it was, you know, 22 years ago or something. Awake turns 20 this coming fall. I mean, man, the time just keeps on marching on.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, 20 years.
Hey, real fast, just a final thing here for you. Advice for the fans. I mean, obviously you've said a lot on your show and stuff, but I mean, what do you say to the fans during these crazy times?
Man, you know, I don't even think you want to get me going on this anymore. And I've gotten to the point where I don't even know how much more I'm going to talk about this because, you know, this thing, it's just like, it's the conversation of every day with everybody. And all of a sudden everyone's a fucking medical expert and a politician and everybody has their own, you know, idea of how this is going to go away, when it's going to go away, if it's going to go away. And I'm just so over it. I'm over it. Like, I'm going to do the right thing and I'm going to continue to be responsible so I don't, you know, get anyone sick that maybe wouldn't respond to this well, like, you know, my mom or even my daughter has severe asthma, and I don't want them to get triggered by this thing. But at the same time, I refuse to subscribe to the idea that this is going to change the world forever and it's going to be a new norm. Like, it's not. My message to the people is it's going to be completely up to us on how we handle this when it's all said and done and how brave we are to get back to normal. Because if I'm not going to live in a world where I'm not going to shake hands or hug somebody or hug my daughter. And, you know, humans are meant to be affectionate. We're not meant to be isolated. And, you know, I'm glad it's going to wake up some people to, like, be a little bit more responsible with their hygiene. Like, don't sneeze in your fucking hand and then shake mine.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's got to be some things that, like, happen that are good about this. You know, maybe desensitize everyone from touching their face so much after they've, you know, touched a bunch of dirty elevator buttons and whatever else. But that's just kind of like part of the normal, right? But as far as interacting and being normal again, we got to pull it together, man. You know, at some point we got to start rolling this thing out, man. And, you know, I don't want it to be disrespectful. I want to be considerate to the elderly and the people that have medical conditions, but there is a lot of people who don't, and there's a lot of people that can, you know, start getting things back to normal. And I think we need to show that display as well of not being afraid, or everyone's just going to be sitting there tipped upside down and traumatized forever. And I just personally don't want to live in that kind of a world.
That's very well spoken. All right, Sully. Well, listen, man, I know you got a lot of interviews going on. Say, we appreciate your time. Thanks for checking in with us. Good luck on your hometown sessions, and hopefully we'll see you sooner rather than later.
Yeah, great, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Up next, it's Tyler from Theory of a Dead Man. And full disclosure, I've known these guys for a lot of years, going back to the early 2000s. Just really great guys. And this is a fun conversation, too. And, of course, it's one of those things where you can see the guy. And, when you're talking to him on the Instagram Live. And like I said, another plug for the John Cooper Instagram Live coming up Friday around 2 o'clock on the WRIF Instagram. Once again, that's 2 o'clock Eastern time if you want to check that out. But this one took place a couple days ago. I want to say, let's see, as I record this, it's Wednesday. So, yeah, Monday. There we go. I'll get my day straight. Anyways, it's Tyler from Theory of a Dead Man today on Talking Rock. Check this out.
What's up, dude?
What's happening, guys?
I'm like, no, come on, man. You're making me look bad here. I said your hair was going to be perfect, and you got your lid on.
You know, what's funny is I just ordered some trimmers on Amazon. I got them the other day. So I cut the sides, but I didn't do the back.
So you're doing your own hair cutting now?
I'm doing I trimmed the top with like beard trimmers because my hair was getting so long. It was like I could put it in my mouth.
Right. Yeah, that's so funny. And apparently, according to Dean, you got a lot of projects you've been working on at home. Is that true?
I just built a gate. Yep. I started watching this show that I'm obsessed with. It's called Island of Brian. It's this family that buys a broken, busted down resort in the Bahamas, and they rebuild it. And so really? It's like two seasons, and every episode they like. So it's so gratifying watching because it's such a piece of crap. It's all termites and everything.
So wait a second. Hold on. Is this like a documentary type thing, or is it like a show with acting?
It's a reno show.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like, you know, what are those house brothers? What are the, you know, the shows where they like fixer-upper shows?
Oh, yeah, where they renovate. Yeah, so it's not like the shows where the people work for like $22,000 a year and they got like a $3 million budget to buy a house. Not one of those.
Oh, I just made fun of that home house. Yeah, your $1,200 stimulus check, what's your, how much do you spend? $3 million. Your budget, yeah. Yeah, so I've been watching that. It's a reno show. So yesterday I took a Sawzall to the ceiling in my studio because the HVAC was leaking. So I wanted to investigate. So now it's just a huge mess. So I got to, now I can fix it.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. So you've been doing that with your quality quarantine time. Anything else?
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of, filming some stuff for, performances, getting a lot of requests for this. I just did one for the Navy this weekend. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh,
never
cool.
Turned that down for sure.
Yeah.
But other than that, a lot of binge watching, playing a lot of guitar, starting to think about writing new stuff, but not yet. We did just release a new song, so.
Right. Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up here in a bit. But yeah, with this downtime, is it one of those things where are your creative juices flowing, or are you just kind of worried about other things right now, or what's going on?
You know, it's weird. There's no creative juices at all. I'm dry.
Right.
I'm dry. It's funny because people immediately ask that, like we released a record and the fans immediately are like, so when you guys can come out with new stuff? We're like, we just did.
Right.
So for like January 31st, we released the new record. So that was like 3 months ago. So now, there are no creative juices. I never force that stuff. I never try to sit down and go, okay, I'm going to write a song today. I just wait.
It's one of those things where you could go through Detroit and on your Facebook in 2 weeks, when are you coming to Detroit, right? It's one of those things.
We get pretty frustrated with those. Where Dean found one, our bass player, found one the next day after he played someplace. like you played Detroit or somewhere, and the next day they're like, when are you coming to Detroit? We're like, you're on our social media. I don't know. What can you do?
Man, one of my favorite memories of you guys playing here was when you guys played that at Motor City Harley-Davidson. Then we went back and had to suffer through watching the Pittsburgh Penguins win the Stanley Cup.
Boy, oh boy, Pittsburgh Penguins. I do like Crosby, but
yeah.
But yeah, that I remember that show. That was great. My cousin, I got some family who live in Windsor, so that's like what, 2 miles from there.
Yeah, it's not very far. Well, it's a little more than 2 miles from where you were playing, but yeah, it's right across the border there. Yeah.
Yeah, so they always come down for all the Detroit stuff, which is fun. So, yeah, I do remember that show. That was good. I think that was – who else played on that show?
So, well, Save and Able, because Dean and I ended up in the Save and Able bus till about 3 o'clock in the morning singing. I wasn't singing. Dean was. But you can ask him about that, you know.
Do you have footage of that? I love
No, there's
it.
No footage, thank God, because it was a rough night that night. But so you talked about World Keeps Spinning, so the video's out there. Why does Dean get to drive? And Dean wants to know, more importantly, why didn't Dave drive?
Because Dave sucks. Dave Dave refuses to drive in videos. We've done multiple videos now where we're driving around. We've got a couple with this car, like the convertible car thing, which is becoming a bit of a theme. But we did have one video where we had to drive this Volkswagen van around, and it was like an old vintage van. So, and it was standard, so we each of us had to take turns driving it. Well, Dave couldn't drive a stick, and it was so embarrassing for him, I guess. He was grinding gears, installing. We're just like, why can't you drive? So after that, he's like, that's it. So I think they wanted him to drive, and World Keeps Spinning, and he just refused. He just refused to drive. So Dean's like, I'll do it.
Well, one of the things I noticed, too, in that video is you're sitting in the back seat, and your hair is perfect.
Well, it was, you know what? There is a couple clips where you can see it kind of, I did get windy back there, but there's people on the set that are just consistently spraying it, some aerosol stuff on it, keeping it in place.
Yeah, that's so yeah. Funny. Yeah, last time you guys were here was a great night that you played that outdoor show in Royal Oak, man. Those shows are fun. I mean, how much are you jonesing to get back on the stage, especially with this new material?
You know, a friend asked me a couple weeks ago, he was like, so you could probably just retire, right? You're like done touring and stuff. And I'm like, no, that's like, that's all, honestly, like that's what the reason we make records is so we can tour. Like that's, it's like in our blood. It's hard to describe, but if we couldn't tour, I don't know what I would do. It's just like literally all we want to do. So we are supposed to be on the spring tour right now. We just canceled the Czech Republic show today. That was supposed to be in June. So it's all sad. It's super sad for us. I'm sure it's super sad for fans. We just have to do what's right because we know if we toured, the fans would come. And we have to protect them. So it sucks. We just want to play, man. We just want to tour.
No, I bet. I suppose, you know, being an artist and stuff, you know, working on this stuff and putting your heart and soul into it, you want to present it in front of the people. Now you really can't right now.
Yeah. Yeah, so there, you know, we're slowly but surely finding other creative ways. Everyone's kind of chomping at the bit to figure out how we're in this time now, how we're going to be able to do what we do other than just making music. So we're trying to figure it out. We haven't done any full band jams yet, but I'm sure it's in the works. We have started discussing how we're going to figure out how to do like four of us on Zoom doing a song or something. Because we're going to start getting requests for that. So I don't know. It's a lot of questions being asked. So we'll figure it out. We'll get through it.
Yeah, I was talking to Greg Upchurch from Three Doors Down the other day, and he says that those guys are actually starting to write via Zoom between all their locations.
Really?
Yeah. That's and like you said, you guys just came out with the records. So you're not ready to write right now. But, I mean, yeah, just to practice or something, I guess, just to keep your chops up, eh?
Yeah, yeah. That's another thing we don't do is we don't really practice too much. We just go, we just assume everyone knows their stuff. We get out, we usually do one day pre-production, and we've heard from other bands, they're like, one day, we usually do like 2 weeks. We're like, there's usually like the first show or two, you'll one of us will hit some bum notes, or I'll just drift off into some completely blank on a line and be like, man, there's something about that nervous energy that really kind of, the first few shows on a tour are usually the
the best sometimes because there's so much adrenaline, you know?
Yeah, no, that's cool. And speaking of touring and stuff, what people probably don't realize that, that I'm sure you're well aware of is that not only are you guys not working, but more importantly, like the crew and the people that support you aren't working either. And those people are the ones that really depend on these, this kind of stuff every single year in and year out.
Yeah, you know, because we tour so much, even when we go home, some of our crew guys, you know, they're part of IATSE, the union, and they'll get local gigs, right? They'll work for the local theater arena. And they'll do whatever, just rather than staying home for 6 weeks, they'll go find work. But you know, that's nothing is happening. Like nothing is. So for them, they're just sitting at home. It's something else that we're as a band trying to figure out how we can help them out. I know there's things like Music Cares. There's other nonprofits trying to raise money. I did do a thing on Facebook. I think it was a week ago, called Human to Human, where they're raising money for, Music Cares, for crew guys, all the people in the industry that aren't working. So I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like those are the people I really, really hurt, because they're the ones that when you guys go and you guys finish up this tour and you go on vacation somewhere with your family or your friends, those guys are hopping on another tour because that's just how their life goes. So, but yeah.
Yeah, it's tough too, because like honestly, we miss those guys.
Yeah.
We're a family, right?
Yeah, that's right. Because you do become friends with them. Because I see a lot of the same guys when you guys come through town.
Yeah, we've had some guys like Harry Mapes. He's been with us since 2008. Mm. 12 years, same crew guy. So yeah, these guys are our brothers, our family. And we actually, I just saw this morning, Dean, I'm seeing some stuff on my phone that we do hockey pools and football pools. And so I guess at the end of the last tour, a couple of the guys split the pool and won money, but Dean never paid him. So he's like, I'll get you on the next tour. So now I guess Dean's trying to Venmo or PayPal them the money, because we don't know when the next tour is going to be. But yeah.
Speaking of hockey, I was going to ask you, did you have any predictions on how the season was going to wrap up here? Did you have any Stanley Cup winners or what?
You know, I was, the Canucks looked so good going into the trade deadline. I think they're first in their division. And I was like, Canucks are going to do it this year. And then I don't happen towards the end of when they stopped playing games, they were like, I think they weren't even in the playoffs. I don't know what happened, but I don't know who was looking good. Boston. I don't know. I don't know who was going to, all the California teams were not good at all. San Jose, right. LA, Anaheim, terrible. Vegas looked pretty good. Jets were doing pretty good. I don't know who was going to win. I think Dave and Dean, they always seem to know everything about hockey. So they can't be stopped. I'm like, I don't.
Now, ironically enough, on my birthday, March 10th, the Red Wings were playing downtown in Detroit. That was the last like big event I went to before they closed everything down. So what was yours?
I was supposed to. That's how scary this is. My dad and sister were on a cruise ship during this thing. They were stuck on a cruise ship. They're one of those people that were stuck on a cruise ship. Yeah. And they're in the port of San Diego. And I managed to get them a flight home. So they got home, luckily. But they were supposed to come to San Diego and then see me for a few days. And me and my dad were going to go to a Kings game and then next night go to a Ducks game. Of course, all that got canceled, but I was lucky they got home. They're safe and everything, but man, that was crazy. So that was my last hockey experience. It wasn't one.
Yeah, when I was in Vegas, I saw a game with the Golden Knights. Have you seen any games in Vegas?
Yeah, it's cool. One of the best games. It's amazing. I mean, it's so loud. The PA they have in there is so good. It's one of the best arenas, I think.
Yeah, we went and saw a game against Ottawa, which is like a last place team, on a Thursday night, and you couldn't get a seat in the place. So it was jammed to the rafters.
It's awesome. And Vegas is such a big destination for a lot of Canadians, too. So, I only went and saw one game there. I can't remember who was playing. I haven't been to the new arena in Detroit. The Little Caesars, Ham and Pineapple.
No pineapple on pizzas. Just stop.
Oh, man, I was sad when they changed the name, but I get it.
Yeah, it's a really cool arena. Next time you guys come through, we'll have to try to work something up to get you to a game. You know, I've talked with some guys about this recently, but it's kind of funny how in this world of social distancing, you know, how we're all kind of further apart than ever. It almost seems like we're closer than ever before. Like normally when you do an interview with me, for the most part, you're on the phone or something. But now it's like we're kind of talking and all these people are able to watch. So it almost seems like in a weird dichotomy, we're all kind of a little bit more closer together.
Yeah, you know, and I've been saying that, you know, it's interesting that everyone's doing these things now and people are requesting like performances over, you know, the internet and stuff. And I was saying, like, how come we never did any of these before? You know, so it's kind of cool because now, you know, we can do these going forward. And you know what? I actually, yeah, last time I did an interview with you, I think it was over the phone and I was naked when I did it.
Well, thank you for not being like that today. But you can't see what I'm not wearing or anything. No, never mind.
That's right. You can always, waist down, I'm, yeah. No, I actually shaved for this. I actually brushed my teeth. So there you go.
You know what they call that? They've got a new name for this. It's called the business mullets. Your business up top and party down below.
That's a good, I like that. I'm going to start using that because that's going to be every Zoom meeting people have in all these businesses. They probably literally go on there and they got like suit with a tie and then it's just like naked from the waist down. Yeah.
Yeah, have you changed doing things? Because, like, it's funny you mentioned that because, like, I'm shaving, like, twice a week now. It's like, I don't really care anymore. Is there stuff that you've started not doing since this all broke out?
No, I mean, usually I would grow a beard at this point, but I have been doing so many of these performances. It just gets, I look so disgusting with it. It gets so gross. I mean, I'd have to just, like, grow it for 3 weeks and then it would look good. But the in-between is just full hobo effect. So it's just gross.
There's that word hobo.
Hobo. Am I the only person that has ever said the word hobo in a song?
In a song, I think you are, yeah.
That's like I was seeing a few years ago, I went and saw a bunch of bands play here, and it was Live was playing. And, you know, Live, massive yep. band, right? And they played that song, Lightning Crashes. Yeah. And I was listening, and I'm like, that's the only band that's ever used the word placenta in a song. I'm like, gotta be.
Well, rumor has it that David Coverdale, I should have asked him about this here today because I talked to him, but rumor has it that he, and here I go again, the original lyrics were, like a hobo, I was born to walk alone, but he changed it to drifter. So
it's much better.
Yeah. I'm not so sure if that's true drifters. Or not. Oh, yeah. Hey, real fast, a couple more things here for you. Talk about the like the musical evolution of Theory of a Dead Man from when you guys started, you know, 15, 18 years ago to where you guys are now.
Yeah, it's changed. You know how much has changed? We just did a Canadian tour, and more than once, fans had said that they liked me better than the original singer. More than once. And I'm like, thank you. And they're like, what, are you going to tell them the truth? I'm like, nah. I don't know. Yeah, so how much has it changed? A lot. I am the same guy. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's interesting because I went back listening to the old stuff, and it's very Southern rock. I think our first record had slide guitar on every single song. We had lap steel, banjo on the first couple of records. So it's changed a lot. But you know what? It's I don't know if it's an evolution or a revolution. But, you know, I mean, we've been doing it for 20 years, so it's we just enjoy it. We love just coming up with new stuff and finding things to excite us. So, but, you know, there's always a time in the back of my head that I'm thinking, let's whip out the slide, or I've got a lap steel here and a banjo, so you never know.
You can play banjo, really?
Oh, yeah. Dave has a ukulele at home that he got from Dean Guitars. That is the actual, it's the dime bag guitar, you know,
the dime bag ukulele.
Yeah. He was playing it the other day playing, I think he was playing Cowboys from Hell on it. It was pretty good.
Hysterical. Well, it's like the music's changed, but also your writing has changed too. It seems like on this last record, like all these records are personal, but it's like this time you got a lot off your chest, eh?
Yeah. You know, I don't know if that just is from years of figuring it out or being more confident, you know, because in the beginning I would never even try to discuss things that were outside the box or things that maybe didn't personally affect me. So yeah, the last record RX was written about something that wasn't about me at all, about people that suffered from drug addiction, opioid addiction in America. So that was a little bit of a scary jump because you know, could easily trigger people. People could say, well, how the hell do you know, et cetera. But I think when it took effect and people really responded to it, I think that opened the door for me to go, what else can I talk about? So I think I just got brave, maybe is a good word. I don't know.
Yeah, someone just tweeted out, yeah, the original singer was better.
He was better. I got to post it. I'll post a photo of I'll find a photo of me from the first record. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Had a long mustache.
But that is interesting how, you know, maybe you got like a better response, or you got a different kind of response. And therefore, like you said, it just kind of helped you to maybe focus in and write on some different stuff that you may have not written before. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, you know, people love songs like Hate My Life. It's fun. You know, we still get Bad Girlfriend, still like the song we end the set with. We still, every night we get someone saying, you know, this is my bad girlfriend, or I've got this girl. I can, you know, this is my bad. So, you know, they love that. And we think that's great. But yeah, there is something different about writing a song that can, you know, maybe helps people. I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of a turn for me. I think maybe it's just about maybe giving back in a sense. I don't know. We have been able to do a lot of more charitable stuff with some of the new things. It's not our agenda, but it's almost just pairs up perfectly with some of the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of things here for you, Tyler, and then we'll cut you loose here. And thanks so much for the time. This is really cool to be able to do this kind of thing here in 2020. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And maybe in a weird way, like we were talking about before, it's like it's kind of opened the doors to some of this kind of stuff in the future, too, where the fans can actually watch you in your house talking to us here in Detroit. What kind of advice or what do you say to your fans at this time during these strange times?
Well, just stay positive. You know, I tell myself the same thing. Sometimes I wake up, I'm like, man, this sucks. This can't get any worse. But it definitely could. I mean, I think there's a lot of people doing some great stuff that I think we're going to get through this. We will. I mean, just stay strong and stay positive. And believe it or not, this is going to fly by and we're going to look back at this and go, man, remember when that happened? Remember? And it'll be like it happened a long time ago.
Oh, by the way, Dave told me a real fast last thing. Dave told me that did you get your motorcycle and your car ripped off?
Yeah. No, yeah. My motorcycle got ripped.
I didn't know if it was my leg stolen. Or
motorcycle got stolen in front of me. And then I got carjacked. I got pepper sprayed once at a golf course and got carjacked.
At a golf course?
Oh, I think I remember that. That was a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had to go to court and stuff. Yeah, it's funny because the guy got like life in prison or something. But yeah, I don't know. And then they tried to say that I was lying because I refused the ambulance because they asked if I wanted paramedics. I'm like, nah. And then so later on, the defense attorney said that I was lying, or how come I never asked for any, you know, paramedics if I got pepper sprayed? I'm like, because there's nothing you can do. You ever been pepper sprayed? There's nothing you can do. Just to wait it out. So yeah, that was an interesting experience.
Man, that's an unbelievable story. I expect to hear a song about that maybe coming up.
Maybe, I don't know. Well, it was a believe it or not, it was a homeless dude that was scoping out. I saw him in the parking lot scoping out people. So he was very brave that he, I don't know why he went up to me, but he did. But I chased after him for a bit and I was like, forget it. But he was a hobo.
I was just going to say,
the song was already
like, hey, you're the guy that sings about hobos.
Yeah. So I don't know. There you go. See, that's what happens when you write those kind of songs.
All right, dude. Well, listen, man, thanks so much for all of your time. And this has been really cool. And we'll look forward to seeing you back out here on tour. We were going to see you on this Breaking Benjamin Bush tour. What's the status of that right now? I suppose it's probably still up in the air, right?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't heard anything. So so far it's so good. I think I keep telling people, as soon as we know, you'll know. So yeah, I don't know anything other than I think they wait as long as possible and they look over all the different, make sure it's safe, et cetera. So yeah, as soon as we find out, we'll let everyone know.
All right, Tyler. Well, thanks, man. Say hi to all the guys and we'll see you here next time. Okay.
For sure. Thanks for having me on.
All right. See you, man.
See ya.
Another two for the price of one. Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast. Hopefully you guys dug that. And hopefully it brings you a little bit of normalcy back in these strange and unusual times. As that's what we're trying to do, get some content out there, get you guys back in touch with some of your favorite rock stars. I've already got some interviews lined up. Like I said, that John Cooper one from Skillet, I'll probably post coming up next week if you don't get a chance to watch it live on Instagram this coming Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Bobby from Saliva, I talked to him the other day, and he's got this really killer side project out called Misery Down, which we talk a lot about. He talks about his sobriety as well. It's just amazing the amount of rock stars I talked to that have had drinking and alcohol problems. But, you know, that lifestyle, it tends to lead towards that kind of stuff. And if you're not careful, it kind of get away from you, like it obviously did with Shannon, like it's done with Bobby. And I mean, I can just go down the list. I just talked to Greg Upchurch from Three Doors Down. Same thing. I mean, all these guys fight these battles, and it's really cool to hear them open up and talk about it. So if you get a chance, stop on back, subscribe. 5-star ratings on Apple and iTunes are really appreciated as well. And most importantly, stay safe. Keep your social distance, do what you're supposed to do, and thank you for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.